Call the next case. Morning, Mr. Terrace.
Your Honors, may it please the Court. The central issue on this appeal is whether an employee who, despite her physical disability, can perform excellently the essential functions of her job today, but because of her deteriorating medical condition, will prevent her from performing excellently or at all in the future, is entitled to a reasonable accommodation. The District Court held that Mrs. Porter was not entitled to a reasonable accommodation of working in North Carolina.
I can certainly understand why a person would wish to move to North Carolina.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
I can certainly understand why a person would wish to move to North Carolina from D.C., but I'm not sure that I understand how it's a reasonable accommodation to allow somebody who's working just fine from home in with Annandale or Springfield or wherever it was, why it's a reasonable accommodation to let her move all the way to Wilmington.
Well, the reason is that she wasn't working just fine in Washington. If it were working...
Well, your record showed that she was getting outstanding performance reviews every time she got her performance review.
That is correct. But yeah. The record also shows, and this is based on their doctor, Dr. Holland, that her condition was working in Washington, that she...
Holland was the doctor who said she could do just fine in an office if she'd had... ventilation.
That was his conclusion, Your Honor, but there's a very great rift between that conclusion and what he found about her condition. Because what he found about her condition was she has a long history of debilitating headaches, that it caused her to be absent from work. That's obviously a direct effect on her work. It affected her job performance. It affected her sleep and her cognitive faculties. So
without prejudice to the glories of North Carolina, what is there in the record that shows that from the point of view of her medical issues, the places within close reach of Washington, D.C. were not absolutely equivalent to Wilmington, North Carolina?
There is nothing in the record that has a set of zones and says Annandale, Virginia has very bad air quality. It's having a very bad effect on her health. But if we move out another 75 miles.
Why was the agency required to allow her to move to Wilmington when she could have moved to Clifton?
When she could what?
Have moved to Clifton or lots of other nice country places not far from here.
Your Honor, if the agency had come
Fairfax
back,
Station.
The agency had come back and said, you don't have to move to Wilmington. You were right. You have that working in Annandale.
But she'd already sold her house and moved to Wilmington, or made arrangements to move to Wilmington. The agency didn't fail to come back.
No.
She broke off.
No. Let's have the record be clear on this.
Okay.
And there are multiple questions that I hope I'm going to get. She decided to go to Wilmington when her supervisor, who had authority from EPA because she was working under the alternative workspace agreement, he had the authority. He told her that she could move. He told her he had the authority. He told her that she did not have to put it in writing. And they had multiple conversations. Based on that, she decided to sell her house.
How long had she been with the government?
I think at that point, roughly at least 10 years.
And she decided to rely on the oral statement of the first line supervisor instead of waiting for confirmation from above.
Your Honor, it is undisputed that he had the authority to do that under the alternative workspace agreement. That's how the agreement with the employees operated, that if your immediate supervisor allowed you an alternative workspace, that's what working at home is, an alternative workspace, that is satisfactory. He told her that he had the authority. She also testified at deposition that she did not want to look like she was going around her supervisor. Those are all rather natural things to do. This went on, Your Honor.
It's still the case that in this record, there is nothing to show the superiority from the perspective of her health of Wilmington over loads of places that don't involve all the flying and times in airports and times in hotels, which we have reason to believe are not good for her health.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing that the EPA has argued that, Your Honor, but in this court, presumably one has to depend on evidence, not on supposition.
Okay, but what is the evidence as to the inferiority of all the places around Washington?
Clifton, Fairfax.
There was nothing in the record, Your Honor, and if the EPA had come back when she said, I want to move to Wilmington, and said, we don't want you to be able to move to Wilmington, we can solve your problem just as well by going to X. That would change very radically.
Well, the agency did say she could request to move within 50 miles of Washington. Isn't that in the record? Okay.
It said, however, it did not say that, Your Honor. It said you can't go beyond 50 miles under the alternative workspace program. But let's be clear about that. That is nothing to do with the Rehabilitation Act. EPA insists the alternative.
So when you say that the agency did not give her any alternative, they did. They offered relocation within 50 miles, right?
No, Your Honor.
I thought you just said they did.
No.
They did?
How
did the 50 miles come into the record?
They said she couldn't go to Wilmington because it's beyond 50 miles. They never said you can go any place other than within the Washington area, which meant the immediate Washington area.
If you're talking about a reasonable dialogue between people, when someone says you can't go to Wilmington because it's beyond 50 miles, wouldn't the usual person say, wouldn't the light bulb go on? I better look around within the 50-mile zone. No?
Your Honor, what the sequence of this is as follows.
But I'm just momentarily answer
focus
that question.
Focus on that question.
Then go on to the other point.
Your Honor.
It would. Surely, that's the, assuming you haven't already committed to something.
Well, she had, of course, committed. She committed because her supervisor had told her that she had that he had authority and she could move to Wilmington. Of course, and this had gone over a number of months. It isn't as if the day after he told her in late September or October 1999. She didn't make a contract to sell her house until February the next year. It isn't as if she raced out and said, I'm going to sell my house, I'm gone, and that's it. All this time period between September 1999 and February 2000, there were constant conversations with her supervisor about she was going to Wilmington, North Carolina. She then...
I mean, you're making this an estoppel against the government case.
Yeah,
no,
that doesn't work.
No, I'm not making it an estoppel, but I...
It sure sounds like that.
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that there was no basis for denying her the right to go to Wilmington. On their own evidence, there was no basis. Dr. Holland himself says he finds that she has serious problems working in the Washington area.
But Dr. Holland said her problems could be addressed by working in the office with filters, right? I don't see why you're even mentioning Dr. Holland. I can see why they would, but I don't know why you're even
because
mentioning Dr.
Holland's irrational conclusions are the heart of what they did.
So you want us to rely on something you're deeming irrational?
Excuse me?
You want us to rely on a witness you're deeming irrational?
Wait a minute. He's their witness. And,
right. And he
and
was
the only evidence.
He said we can correct her problem by letting her work in the office.
And for 6 years, she had worked at home because they had found that working in the office caused her very serious problems.
So no good deed goes unpunished.
So now the doctor comes along.
They have to let her go to Wilmington.
Now the doctor comes along, their doctor, never examines her, comes along, and on the basis of the medical evidence solely from the plaintiff, all of which says that she's in very bad physical shape from working in the Washington area, and he says, My recommendation is she not only works in the Washington area, she doesn't any longer work at home.
But you want us to rely, you want to rely on that evidence.
I want you to rely.
You brought him up. You want to rely on that evidence.
I want you to rely on his finding.
Okay.
His findings, which he himself found very serious harm. And then he says something which can't possibly cure the harm. And then they make a decision which can't possibly cure the harm. And then I submit to your honors the suggestion she should have come up with another alternative in Warrenton or some other place that may be within 50 miles.
Yeah, in fact, the agency suggested to her that she come up with an alternative in the D.C. area, right?
Oh, they did not say that.
They
said we turned down North Carolina because it's beyond 50 miles. That's what they said. And so in that sense, that's true. But by the way, the 50 miles has nothing to do with the Rehabilitation Act. Absolutely nothing.
No, but it has to do with reasonable accommodation.
It doesn't. No, Your Honor, it does not have to do with reasonable accommodation.
Why doesn't it?
Because the reasonable accommodation is under the Rehabilitation Act. It's not under the alternative workspace policy. Excuse me, Your Honor?
The reasonableness of an accommodation presumably depends on the various problems that a particular one accommodation vis-a-vis another would create for the employer. And if the employer said, okay, under certain circumstances, we're happy about people within 50 miles, that seems to be saying that the burdens for it within the 50-mile zone are okay, and by implication, the burdens beyond the 50-mile zone are likely not to be. So it feeds right into reasonable accommodation. It may derive from other factors, but it feeds right into reasonable accommodation.
Your Honor, if the agency had done anything as rational as what you just said, that may very well have been a very good answer to it. But it is not what the agency.
May not have spelled it out.
No, it sure didn't spell it out. And there were an awful lot of conversations. Let me just say one thing, so I can save the rest of my time.
We're not very careful about your time. We may give you back a couple of minutes.
I would like to be back, Your Honor. Let me just emphasize something because I think it's very important. The agency allowed her to go to North Carolina.
The agency couldn't have stopped her from going to North Carolina.
Wait a minute. The agency
does not have the power to stop anyone from going anywhere they want to.
They allowed her to work in North Carolina. They offered to let her work in North Carolina if she would take a demotion.
She would be willing to consider a request to change the official alternative workspace location to another one within Washington, D.C., 117 of J.A. That sounds a lot like what you told me a while ago they didn't say.
Your Honor, they offered to let her work in North Carolina if she would take a demotion. What happened to the 50 miles?
Now, was that an official statement from
Yes,
the
it was. It was a statement from the man
it was
who
a
turned state. Down her going to North Carolina.
Where is it in the J.A.?
Let me get it when I go.
Where is it in the J.A.? Is it in writing anywhere?
It's in writing, Your Honor.
It is? Okay.
The description of it is in writing, and it's
description of it is in writing.
Your Honor, it was not
an official position.
Your Honor, we're here on grant of summary judgment.
The evidence is not an official position. Whoa!
Yes,
whoa!
Your Honor, if there's a
counsel, please.
I'll give that to Your Honor.
It was not an official position ever taken by the agency, was it?
Your Honor, the only official position by the agency in turning down her working in North Carolina is by the same official. The only position of EPA is the same official who made the offer to allow her to go to North Carolina if she would accept a demotion. It's the same man.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, Jeremy Simon for the EPA.
Mr. Simon, maybe you could clarify what is the connection between the AWS program and the rehabilitation program, if any?
Well, Your Honor, the AWS program is what I would call a less involved option available to employees who are suffering from certain health effects, but it does not necessarily rise to the level of what would be necessary for to satisfy the Rehabilitation Act standard. Also, there's a little bit of a less involved process in terms of whether documentation needs to go to a separate physician who would be retained by EPA, as it was in this case, to assess Ms. Porter's rehabilitation request. Here, the process began with Ms. Porter asking for consideration under the AWS. It's very important to emphasize to the court that Ms. Porter was well aware that this new AWS policy formalized what previously may have been a more informal way of setting up an at-home work arrangement. She says so in her declaration, that's JA 161, paragraph 16, that she, in fact, when she put her July 1999 application in to regularize her work-at-home arrangement in Annandale, she acknowledged that it was a more formalized process. That AWS policy that...
161.
Paragraph 16. That AWS policy at Joint Appendix 81 says supervisor's approval needs to be in writing. Now, Ms. Porter never acknowledges that she never received, when she sought to change her AWS location to Wilmington, never received written approval. So she cannot claim to have relied reasonably on any oral representation she alleges was made to her. Your Honors, EPA satisfied any obligation that it had under the Rehabilitation Act by offering Ms. Porter a reasonable accommodation to continue an at-home work arrangement in the Washington, D.C. area. Judge Sintel, you've focused on the document in the record, JA 117, where EPA said, we are willing to consider another alternate work space arrangement within the commuting distance to Washington, D.C. She did not offer any other alternatives. Instead, it's clear that by July 28th, just a week or two after that offer was made, she had rejected it. I believe that's reflected in perhaps it's JA 118 or thereabouts, but it's clear that she rejected it very promptly and abandoned the interactive process. Dr. Holland's, the medical documentation that Ms. Porter submitted to EPA, reflected in Dr. Holland's report, actually said that she improved in her at-home work arrangement in the Washington, D.C. area. Her headaches went down, her energy level went up. And Ms. Porter never took issue at the time or in the district court with Dr. Holland's summary of the medical documentation, never argued it was incomplete or inaccurate. So the record establishes that, in fact, she was able to perform the essential functions of her job with the some form of alternate workspace arrangement in the Washington, D.C. area. Because EPA is not obligated to provide an employee with their preferred accommodation, only a reasonable accommodation, EPA satisfied its obligation under the Rehabilitation Act. If the panel has any further questions, if not, we would ask that the court affirm the district court's ruling below.
Seeing none, we thank you, counsel. How much time do you have left? We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
I would just remind the court that this case is before you on a grant of a motion for summary judgment. So if any evidence in the record causes a dispute of material fact, that the decision should be reversed. The statement in writing about Mr. Cheatham offering to allow Ms. Porter to work from North Carolina is Joint Appendix 233. It is a memorandum from the other person on the telephone call, Barry Nussbaum, the direct supervisor of Ms. Porter, which states the two offered by Reggie was a transfer to a GS-13 at its highest level and continued full-time employment, or a 1-year temporary GS-14 or current salary with an option for a year or two extension and then a reevaluation of the arrangement. In other words, this is the man, Mr. Cheatham is the man who makes the only decision to turn down Ms. Porter's move to North Carolina. It's the same person. And I submit to Your Honor that this makes clear that the agency never said she couldn't go to North Carolina. It would have allowed her to go to North Carolina, 50-mile rule for the AWS policy or not. But it was wanted to have her take a demotion. Now, why did it want a demotion? There's evidence in the record from an affidavit by another employee that Cheatham had said to him that they were the need to reduce the grade levels in the office. And so this was part of that effort. And I submit to Your Honor, on this basis, one cannot possibly come to the conclusion that any rational decision was made by EPA that a move to North Carolina was not consistent with the Rehabilitation Act. Okay, the opposite.
Counsel, your time is up now, and the case is submitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Give us recess.
Stand, please.